All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be jumping headfirst into a real estate law case, a contract case. It's Tri-State Hotel Co. v. Sphinx Investment Co. out of Kansas, 1973.
Oh yeah, this is a good one.
And if you're thinking, oh man, a case from the 70s, this is going to be dry as dust, you would be wrong.
Yeah.
And if you've ever signed a lease or thought about buying a house or wondered, how solid is a contract, really? This case has some really interesting stuff.
Absolutely.
And also, we're going to be looking at this really important concept of marketable title.
Yes.
And how, like, a tiny little thing can totally unravel a big real estate deal.
Yeah, and it really shows how those little details in a contract, they really, really matter. You know, we're talking about a situation where a hotel sale basically just blew up because there was a question about a little tiny piece of land, just a sliver that was owned by, well, nobody, a company that didn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
So this is really key for, you know, anyone who wants to understand how the law really works in practice. Due diligence, clear contracts, that's what this is all about.
So let's set the stage here. We've got Tri-State Hotel Company, they're the ones selling.
Right.
We've got Sphinx Investment Company, they're the ones trying to buy.
Okay.
And they've got this deal for the hotel, plus like some surrounding properties, right? It's not just a simple, here's the hotel, I'm buying it.
No, not at all. There were actually multiple parcels of land involved in this deal, and each of those parcels had its own separate contract.
Okay.
So yeah, it was more complex than a simple one-page agreement. But the thing that's really important here, the common thread running through all of these contracts, was this thing called a marketable title clause.
Right.
And what this clause did was it gave Sphinx, the buyer, a pretty big power. If Tri-State, the seller, couldn't prove they had a clear title to the property, one that didn't have any major problems, by a specific date, which was May 1st, 1970, well, Sphinx could just walk away.
And that May 1st deadline, that was a hard deadline. That wasn't like, ah, we'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, it was.
That was like drop dead. Got to have it by then. Now, Sphinx also put down $100,000.
That's a lot of money, even back then.
As a deposit.
Yeah.
Right? Big chunk of change.
Yeah.
And that was being held in escrow by a lawyer named John Eberhardt. Now, here's the thing. Eberhardt was representing both Tri-State and Sphinx.
Oh, that's interesting. Representing both sides. A little unusual. You don't see that too often.
Yeah.
Definitely raises some questions about, you know, potential conflicts of interest. How can one lawyer truly serve the best interests of both the buyer and the seller? But you know what? In this particular case, the Kansas Supreme Court, they didn't really focus on that dual representation aspect.
Yeah.
Their decision really boiled down to that title defect, the problem with the ownership of that little sliver of land, and what the contract explicitly said about it.
Yeah, they really focused on the meat and potatoes of the contract itself.
Yep.
So everything seems to be, you know, moving along, sales going through, and then they do a title search and something pops up.
Uh-oh.
What was the problem? What was this hiccup that just threw everything off?
Well, it turned out there was this small, kind of weird-shaped strip of land that was actually situated right under a part of the hotel building.
Oh, like physically underneath it.
Yeah, like part of the foundation was on this little strip. And the problem was the ownership of that strip wasn't clear. The records, they showed that it was still owned by some corporation that had basically gone kaput. They weren't operating anymore, didn't really exist.
So it wasn't a clean title for Tri-State on that piece of land.
Nope.
Now, Tri-State's argument was, okay, well, yeah, maybe the paperwork's not perfect, but we've owned that strip through adverse possession.
Okay.
So explain to us, what is adverse possession?
So adverse possession is this really interesting legal concept. It basically says that if you've been using a piece of property, like you're the owner, out in the open, continuously, and nobody else is claiming it for a certain number of years, you can actually gain legal ownership of that land, even if you never had the official title in the first place.
Wow.
It's like saying, look, we've been acting like the owners for so long, everyone thinks we are, so legally we should be.
So Tri-State was basically saying, hey, we've been treating this land under the hotel like it's ours for years. Nobody's complained. So we should be the legal owners, even if the old records are a little messy.
Exactly. They were making a strong case for it.
But you don't just get to say, oh, adverse possession, and that's it, right?
Right.
You have to go to court to get a judge to officially recognize that.
Right. It's not automatic. Usually you have to file what's called a quiet title action. That's where you go to court and you basically ask the judge to declare that, yep, this is officially yours now. No more questions.
And it sounds like Tri-State hadn't gotten that done by the May 1st deadline.
Right. They might have had a good case for adverse possession, but legally it wasn't a done deal by that date.
So from Sphinx's point of view, there's still this question mark hanging over part of the property they were about to buy.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're spending a lot of money on a property, you don't want any question marks.
Yeah.
You want everything to be crystal clear. So May 1st comes and goes. That deadline passes. Title issue's not resolved. Sphinx says, we're out. We're exercising our right to cancel.
Yeah, that's a big decision.
They officially backed out on May 7th. And they said, we want our $100,000 back by May 15th.
Makes sense. They want their money back.
And, you know, based on that marketable title clause, seems pretty straightforward.
It does, doesn't it? And that's a really key point that the Kansas Supreme Court would eventually really emphasize. Sphinx was doing exactly what they were allowed to do under the contract.
Yeah.
They had that right.
But Tri-State wasn't just going to let go of $100,000.
No way.
So they took Sphinx to court.
Big legal battle brewing.
What was their argument? Why did they think they should get to keep that money?
So Tri-State, their big argument was that, look, this little strip of land, it's really just a tiny part of the whole hotel property.
Yeah.
And in real estate deals, buyers often just accept little imperfections like this. It's not a big deal, they argued. And Sphinx shouldn't be allowed to walk away from this huge transaction over something so minor.
Right.
So yeah, they basically said, we should get to keep the deposit, it's ours.
And Sphinx, they countered that. And I imagine they weren't too thrilled about the idea of potentially having to go to court themselves later on, just to make sure their ownership of this land underneath their new hotel was totally solid.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Buying this hotel, thinking everything's fine, and then boom, you're stuck in a lawsuit over this little piece of land.
Yeah, total headache. So what was Sphinx's counterargument?
They basically said, look, even if this strip of land is small, the fact that the ownership isn't settled, that creates a big risk for us down the line.
Mm-hmm.
We could get sued. We might have to spend time and money proving that we really own it.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe Tri-State has a good case for adverse possession, but we don't want to be the ones who have to fight that battle in court.
Yeah.
So they basically said this uncertainty, it makes the title not marketable. And the contract was very clear. We had the right to cancel. We get our money back.
Okay, so this gets to the heart of what we're talking about today, this concept of marketable title. What does it mean legally?
Mm-hmm.
And the Kansas Supreme Court, they had to provide a definition here. What did they say?
They gave a really clear and important definition. They said that a marketable title is a title that is free from reasonable doubt.
Reasonable doubt.
Yeah, meaning it's not about being absolutely perfect, historically flawless, no questions asked ever. It's about a level of certainty.
Okay.
And they also said it's a title that does not expose the buyer to the hazards of litigation.
So those are two key phrases, reasonable doubt and hazards of litigation. So it's not about a perfect title.
Right.
It's about a title that's clean enough that you're not going to get sued over it.
Exactly. It's like you're buying a property. You want to buy peace of mind. You don't want to buy a lawsuit.
And for you, as you're studying law, this highlights a crucial point. Even little things, seemingly small details, can have huge consequences, legal and financial.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're dealing with contracts, especially in real estate. You got to look beyond just the big numbers.
Yeah.
Got to think about those little things, those hidden problems that could pop up later.
It's about seeing the dominoes. Like, how can this one little thing cause a whole chain reaction down the line?
Okay, so the Kansas Supreme Court has laid out what marketable title means. How do they apply it to this whole situation with Tri-State Hotel and that contested strip of land?
Yeah.
What was the decision?
Well, the court ultimately sided with Sphinx. They upheld the trial court's ruling. So that meant Sphinx was right to cancel the contract, and they were entitled to get their $100,000 back.
$100,000 back to them.
Yep.
So why? What were the key reasons behind that decision? Why did the Supreme Court say this title defect was serious enough that Sphinx could back out?
There were a few key things they looked at. First, they agreed that this wasn't just a minor technicality. The fact that Tri-State would need to go to court, file that adverse possession lawsuit to really clear up the title, that created a real risk of litigation for Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
So the court was essentially saying, you shouldn't have to buy a property and then immediately get dragged into a lawsuit.
Right.
That defeats the whole purpose of a clear, marketable title.
Makes perfect sense. Nobody wants to buy a property and inherit a legal battle with it.
Nope. And then the May 1st deadline, that was really important. The court said the contract was clear. Tri-State agreed to deliver a marketable title by that date, and they didn't.
It's like they bolded it and underlined it, May 1st.
Yeah, exactly. So the court's view was that Sphinx had every right to cancel because of that. They basically said, look, You made a deal, and we're going to stick to the terms of that deal.
So the court wasn't going to rewrite the contract just because Tri-State maybe thought the defect was no big deal?
No way. And that brings us to another really important point the court made about who is responsible in these types of deals. They actually quoted this really interesting statement. They said, "The law presumes parties understand their contract's terms." So what they're saying is Tri-State, the seller, they were the ones who took on the risk of any title problem.
So it was on them to make sure that title was clean.
Exactly. They couldn't just shrug it off later and say, oh, it's just a small thing. They had made a promise in that contract and they were bound by it.
Okay, now let's play what if for a second. What if Tri-State had managed to clear up the title issue after that May 1st deadline, but before Sphinx officially canceled on May 7th? Would that have changed anything?
You know, based on how the court was thinking, I really don't think so. That May 1st deadline, it gives Sphinx the right to cancel, and once that date passed and the problem wasn't fixed, Sphinx had the power to walk away.
It didn't matter what Tri-State did later.
Right. Even if they somehow managed to clear up the title really quickly after the deadline, that wouldn't change the fact that Sphinx already had the right to cancel. Mm. That contract, it gave them that protection.
So the deadline, once it's passed, it's passed.
It's like a line in the sand.
So for all the law students out there listening to this, mm-hmm. what are the key takeaways from this case?
All right. So if you're going to remember just a few things from this case, here's what they are. First, marketable title. It's not about perfection. It's about minimizing risk.
Right.
So even a small title defect, if it could lead to a lawsuit, that's a problem. Second, clear contracts are crucial.
Couldn't agree more.
Deadlines, cancellation rights, you got to spell it all out, make it crystal clear.
Yeah.
That protects both the buyer and the seller. And finally, remember, it's usually the seller's job to make sure that title is marketable.
Yeah, the seller's the one making the promise.
Right. And if they can't keep that promise by the deadline, they're the ones who face the consequences.
In this case, Tri-State Hotel, it's a decision from the 70s, but why is it still relevant today?
This case, it's a classic example of how courts uphold contracts. They don't like to rewrite agreements just because one side thinks something was a minor issue.
Yeah.
If the contract's clear, the courts will usually enforce it, even if it seems a little harsh. So it's a reminder that you got to pay attention to those details in a contract. Every single clause matters.
So to sum it all up, whether you're going to be a lawyer or you just want to understand how agreements work, here's a big takeaway. In real estate, especially when you're dealing with the title to a property, details matter.
Absolutely.
Even things that seem small can have big consequences. You got to understand marketable title and those deadlines, those are crucial for protecting yourself.
And when you think about this case, it makes you realize that there might be hidden risks in all sorts of contracts, not just real estate. So it's a good reminder that using clear, specific language in any agreement can help you prevent problems later on. It's all about managing risk and being crystal clear about what you're agreeing to.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So this deep dive into Tri-State Hotel v. Sphinx Investment Company, it's given us a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone beyond just knowing who won the case. We've looked at why they won and what it means for all of us. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
See you next time.